My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first-timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change-ups, the cast won't break up. Even with that million-dollar contract, show up a stand-up guy who's a stand-up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher A. Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, March 10th, 2024. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you would like to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 706. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here alone in my apartment on a cloudy Saturday morning, trying to give you some high quality podcast content. I am post exercise bike ride, post shower, post breakfast, post some cran apple. And I'm here. I have the Minnesota Timberwolves Indiana Pacers game on mute on YouTube. I love this NBA package, this NBA league pass. I know my homies on the Firestarter podcast talked about how much they hated it, but now it on YouTube it's high def and it's good quality. I think I mentioned that before. I think I hit up Tone and said, "Yeah, I mean, hey man, I'm loving this." This NBA ticket. And he was like, yeah, he said Tone went through that. So hopefully you won't have to go through that. So Tone, thanks, man. I don't have to go through shitty HD that you had to go through when you had League Pass. But this Anthony Edwards kid, it's pretty amazing watching him play. He's great. Like getting to see all these young players play when I get the time. If I'm having a conversation on the phone or a long conversation, I like to have like the NBA on background. So you just fire up YouTube and just kind of use it as a screensaver. It's a pretty expensive. It's not that expensive, actually. I think it's $100 for the whole year. It's not that bad. I got rid of a couple channels. I got rid of Stars. I'm going to bring it back, though. Stars I'm bringing back, but I did get rid of, Disney Plus. That was just taking my money and I wasn't watching anything. I know all those Marvel shows are supposed to be cool. Well, some of them people didn't like, cause a lot of people shat on that Secret Invasion show. I never watched it. And then I think Echo was supposedly pretty good. I don't know, but all that stuff got way too expensive. So yeah, maybe something will get me to get it back, but I know I have to get Stars back because I have to get my black TV programming into swing, because BMF is still going on, but I'm not as pressed as I am for BMF. I'm more pressed for the Power series, so when Power Book 2 comes back, I'm signing up again. I'll probably sign up pretty soon anyway, but Disney Plus just got way too expensive. And I don't have time to watch any of these shows. I have my He Who Remains. What is this character that Jonathan Majors isn't playing anymore? I got the action figure. What's the guy? He's staring at me. That's a good figure. Ant-Man. That's so bad. I feel like I'm getting really old now. I'm forgetting stuff that I can't remember. Kang. It's Kang the Conqueror. Wow. I was telling somebody yesterday. She's like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? I said, yeah, I'm supposed to go to a play, and one of my favorite actresses is in it. And I was like, I was trying to think of her name. And I was like, yeah, you can really tell that she's one of my favorite actresses. But it's Taylor Russell. And I'm recording this before I head out to see it, but I'm going to see her in this play called The Effect, which is from what do you call it? An import? If a play from London comes over here. I mean, the Lehman Trilogy was that. And I think that came from the National Theater. But some of these things, if you go to the movies and you watch the commercials, at least at an AMC, they'll say, from the National Theater, this play. And you can fathom events. You can watch the play on and at the movie theater. They have that sometimes. They only have like one time that you can go see the thing. And but this one, it's at the Shed. It's at the Hudson Yards area, which I've been to the Hudson Yards area, but I've never really walked around. I think I went to an audition at somewhere in that area. But unfortunately, it's a relatively cloudy day and it's supposed to rain. So I haven't been able to walk around, but it'll still be nice. The Shed is supposed to be this really cool venue off the West Side Highway. So I'm excited for that, to see one of my favorite actresses, Taylor Russell, do her thing. And Papa Esadu was in it, who was in I May Destroy You. So I'm excited to see that. My apologies, everyone, for the five of you that care about this show, that I didn't do a podcast last week because things got really busy. I had to take care of some family stuff. I had to go down, do some things for my mom, make sure she got some stuff that she needed. There's been this really big ordeal that I haven't been talking about, and it finally got resolved. My mother needed a back door for the I don't even know what you call it, like a porch on the it's not even a porch, it's just like in the country you kind of call it a sitting room, because they got added a new addition on the house about a little over 20 years ago, and it was time for to get a new door. So you know, we went to Lowe's. This was back in October of last year. And my mother got it special ordered. And you pay for them to come out and measure your door, the company, the contractor that they hire out. The guy came, measured the door. And then when it was time for, my mom picked out the door. And then when it was time for that to, the door to get put on, they got the wrong door. They got the wrong size. So we had to start the process all over again. And they were like, oh, we don't know when we're put. So we had to hold that off. And then last month I said, let's do it again. Let's just go to another store. So we went to another store in Waldorf. We went to a Lowe's in Waldorf. And I said, let's just try it. Again, because if you go to all these other places, I think I had been trying for over a year to get a door for my mom, and it was just like, she paid for it. It's her money. She got what she wanted. But like trying to get it installed, like a contracting team, it was all super expensive. So she said she didn't like that. So I said, let's just go to another store. Maybe we'll get better service. So we went, I said, let's just go to Waldorf. This was last month. I think like the middle, man, whenever I was home in February, I said, let's just go to Waldorf. Waldorf, usually you get better service down there. It's just have better experience down there. Let's just give it a try. Try to give my county PG a shot. Thanks, Apple, for telling me that it's daylight savings tomorrow. I forgot about it. I honestly did forget about it. So we have to spring forward. Anyway, so let's just go down to Waldorf. So we went down to Waldorf. Paid the money for them to go do the door again to measure the door. Guy comes out and measures the door, and they get the measurements. I said, okay, so I'm back home last week. And I said, Mom, let's fucking do this. I didn't say let's fucking do this, Mom, but I worked, I did my TPS reports, had my mom, and we drove down to Waldorf, and the door was in stock. It was under a half hour, because you have to do like paperwork and stuff like that. It was less than that, but the guy was really nice. Shout out to Dominic at Lowe's in Waldorf. What a stand-up guy. What a sweet kid. You know, people always try to shit on the young people of today. There's young people that out there that are hardworking, that do their job, and they do it well. And my mother was pleased. And then so he was like, you know, you probably get it done this week. And I was just thinking like, oh, please let it get done this week while I'm at home, while I'm in the house. So this could I need this to happen. I need a win. I just need this odyssey of trying to, I need to get to the Valhalla of this door being installed. And I need this. I need it. So she got the door, picked it out, and come to find out, it was like $500-$600 cheaper than what she initially paid in October. So that was a win. And Dominic says, you know, it's Monday, so you know it's possible that, you know, they can get it done this week. I said, I hope so. I was like, I hope so. They hope they get it done by like Thursday at least, because I got to go back. I got to see Taylor Russell in his play. I really need to see her. Even though she's dating Harry Styles. Ugh. Whatever. I think they called the company, the contractors that they hired, I think they're like, we'll be there on Wednesday they called, we'll be there between like 10 and 12. And they came at like, I think they said 12 and 2 or something like that, but they came 2 hours early. And it took them a few hours to put it up, and it was great. They did it. And I'm so happy. I felt like Tom Hanks at the end of Captain Phillips. So I was happy about that. Yeah, I was happy that they got it taken care of. And yeah, so that was awesome. So that's done, and I'm happy. My mother has also come up with other things to be complaining about, but still there's a victory nonetheless. So that door odyssey has been handled, and I'm overjoyed about it. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, so and then I got an oil change, my first oil change as a new Honda owner. I went to, because once it gets to 15, I guess now with this car, once it gets to 15%, that means it's time to get your oil change. and they don't even put the mileage on when they change it. The good thing about this, you know, so after work the next day, it might have been, what was it, like Wednesday, or I think it might have been Tuesday when I got this oil change. I went there and I was like, oh, you know, thinking it's going to be, when you take it to the dealership, you think whatever they do is going to be like $100. And I'm sitting there. They take a good while to do it, because it's at a big dealership in Maryland. It's like, and this was in PG County, so this was in my hood. And they did a good job. They washed the car, they rotated the tires, and it was free. I didn't have to pay anything. I think my car is under some kind of warranty that the guy explained to me. I just kind of went blank after he said it's free. And I was just like, all right. So I was happy about that. So I had some much needed wins that I was really happy about. So I was driving home late Thursday afternoon. And I was talking to one of my friends. He had called me, known him since seventh grade. And we were talking, and every now and then, like, high school stuff will come up, just stuff from high school. And I don't know how we got on it. It might have been, I forget what we were talking about, but I do remember a few days prior to us talking, I was looking at Facebook, and I follow my year, class of 98, from my high school. Just the page that we had, like, for reunions or whatever and stuff like that. And it came up on, it either came up from that site or somebody that I went to school with, high school with. And there was a picture of at our class picnic, and it was all these kids, and I wasn't in it. I was at that picnic, but I was not invited to be in that picture. And I wanted to make like a sly comment and say, man, well, I guess I wasn't invited to get in that picture. But I wasn't like bitter or anything like that. I didn't care. And so, but I just wanted to kind of give them shit. Then, I'm talking to my friend. So fast forward to me to this past Thursday, I'm talking to my friend. We're shooting the shit, catching up. And, we start talking about like being like classed, like CLASSED. That's how he called it. And he was saying like how like some kids didn't talk to you or weren't cool with you because of where you're from in the area of PG County. And just like any high school, there's always this social stratification, like the popular kids, the nerds, the band geeks, or the theater nerds. But my school, Bishop McNamara, when I was there, when our graduating class, I've said this hundreds of times on the show, there were only about 150 plus of us kids, of us seniors that graduated, that were, you know, that were in the class. And so we for the most part kind of knew each other, and I kind of talked to everybody, but I definitely had my friends that I ate lunch with. I definitely had my friends just like everybody else, but I was aware of that social stratification and all that. These people were the popular kids, but I never thought about, and to a certain degree, the only time it would come up in conversations on the pod where you talk about, well, where you're from and how was your high school, what was this like when you were a kid, would just be like, oh, there were kids that their parents made a lot of money. Those were the kids that were acting out the most. Those were the kids that were trying to be thugs, and you guys live near where the Redskins players live, or you live near some of where the Wizards players live, and you're trying to act like you're a thug and your dad's a dentist, or your dad's a pharmacist, or your mother is a lawyer, and you're coming to school on dress down days and army fatigues and shit like that. That was corny to me, because where I'm from and where my friend that I was talking to was from, you could get in trouble if you wanted to. But the thing about my friends where he grew up, it was there are more kids around and people of his age that you could hang out with, you get in trouble with, but there are more kids. So my interactions were usually with other kids my age would be at my cousin's house when I would spend time. I spent a lot of time with them growing up. They were 2 years older and there were other kids in their neighborhood. My neighborhood, there's one girl that was three or four years older than me. She was always ahead of me. I never really hung out with her or anything. And then there was one kid that lived next door, but his dad passed away and they moved away. And there were no other kids. I did have a buddy that lived in I didn't realize that he lived in the area in my neighborhood until we were like maybe like sophomores in high school, but we didn't really do any. He worked, he had a job. Like when it was time to like hang out, I used to come over to his house, he used to come over mine a little bit, and he put me on to all the computer games and stuff. He was the guy that put me on to Doom, the first person. I just wasn't a big first person shooter fan, but anyway, weren't that many kids where I grew up. And by the time I was like old enough to hang out and stuff like that, all the kids were gone. And then my free time was just working, or I was in a drama club at school. So those are my interactions with like kids, people my age. You just interact in your clubs that you're in after school. And then somebody would pick me up, and when I could drive, I'd just go home or go to fucking work. I'm just saying all that to just kind of set everything up. But he was saying that some kids who lived in Fort Washington, Maryland, were kind of like bougie for like Fort Washington, Clinton, people that lived in Southern Maryland, like Southern, it was all Southern Maryland, but like in PG, Southern PG County. There's some that live like in Largo or Mitchellville. You know, like some of the Wizards and Redskins, now Commanders, they live there. And you're saying like some kids weren't cool with you unless you lived in certain areas. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man. And then there was this girl that I liked that he knew I was in love with, and she lived in a different town. We talked on the phone, but we never went out. Like, I wanted to go to homecoming with her, and I was in love with that girl. And he said, yeah, man, maybe you got classed. And I was like, what? I said, maybe I was just a nerd, or she didn't like, but we were nerds. She was a nerd. We were in those AP honors classes. But I didn't live near where she lived. And so he was like, maybe you got class, dude. And then she dated a white guy. She went to homecoming and prom with a white guy. And I was like, damn, maybe. Maybe she did. But I never thought about that. I don't know if I was too self-absorbed as a teenage artist, actor guy, or what. I was just concerned because I want to get good grades and I want to go to college. My parents are busting their ass. My parents were middle class. They worked. If you've listened to this show long enough, you know my parents were laborers. My mom worked in a lithograph book publishing, book binding company. She had a rotary cuff tear and she couldn't work anymore. She survived breast cancer and she's still here, thank God. She's 80. My dad worked in warehouses, worked as a receiver at Shoppers Food Warehouse for several years and put up stock, dairy, all kinds of stuff like that. And he eventually got a rotary cuff tear. So these are like laborers that put me through Catholic school and busted their ass. So I didn't have to have a job when I was in college. So I did work study and all that. And I had scholarships and stuff like that. So I wasn't thinking about, I never thought that though. And I think those kids, the way that he told it, he was saying like, you know, like maybe those kids thought that they were, I guess, better than us because they were from a certain area. I never looked at those kids as being better than me because they might have had more money. But I remember every time we had a field trip, I had money. I had to buy a like lunch, to buy a trinket from a gift shop or something. The big thing was, I think about around the time of 10th grade, we went to the Holocaust Museum in DC. And we went to the museum and we could go get lunch somewhere. And the big thing was like Union Station, getting lunch or something at Union Station and maybe like getting a CD or something from the gift shop. And I think I bought a Shy album, remember? And if I, that, not that album, but their second album was called Blackface. And it had that song, The Place Where You Belong, from the Beverly Hills Cop 3 soundtrack. I don't know if you guys remember that. Remember the record? It was like, misery, such a fool to let you walk away from me. I think that's how it started. But that was, I remember maybe buying that CD. So I was able to like get stuff, or I had nice clothes. I mean, we had uniforms and stuff, but did we wear uniforms on a field trip? We might have. But when we'd had dress down days, like I had Eddie Bauer. I liked what I liked. Tommy. I had a Tommy shirt one time. I had good clothes and I never felt inferior to any of those kids. So I was just like, damn. I was like, I just told my friend, I was like, shit, man, I'm sorry you felt that way. I said, I wish we would have talked about it. But I was saying, well, maybe we just didn't have the vocabulary to talk about it back then. I think age brings a lot of perspective, but I wish that I could. And he had this moment that almost made me cry a little bit, where he's talking about, he said, yeah, my kids don't have to worry about that anymore. He's like, he makes good money doing what he does. And he was saying like, he said, yeah, my kid doesn't understand. He's like, you know, he's like, you have everything. I forget how he worded it, but my toxic masculinity made me, I was like, what are you trying to do, man? Make me cry while I'm like driving up I-95, bro? What are you doing, bro? I'm driving up the Garden State Parkway. You trying to make me cry, bro? But he was saying his kid will never know that. And he said, my kids' friends think that we're rich. You know, his friends think that they're rich. And it just fucking sucks. And because I always thought, I was never under any type of delusion. I never thought that I was a rich kid. I knew that I had to do well in school because I was aware that my parents were paying for this shit. And I was in the National Honor Society. I did make the honor roll. And I've talked about the pressure that you have, that you go under when you're in a school like that, when you're in a college preparatory school, it was a big deal. Like, you know, they put your name in a case. They have a printout of the honor students from, you know, who made the honor roll, who made the high honors, and your GPA. And when you went, when it was senior year, they had your name. They put up your name and then, like, what schools you got accepted to and how much money, how much scholarship money you got. Like, that was a big deal. And you wanted your name on the board. You wanted to be listed as somebody who was doing their thing. So I don't know that that was a rude awakening, but like I've always talked about like PG County being like a place where like you saw black doctors or black lawyers and people in authority positions, in positions of authority who are black, who look like you. So you could aspire to be that or say, oh, I want to be a principal because the principal that I had growing up looked like me. Or I could be a doctor. I could be a dentist because my dentist is black. You know, my eye doctor's black. So you had a lot of that stuff going on. So I just never felt that classism in high school. I never really thought about that. But there were kids that did have money. And then when I got to college, I think some of those kids were super rich, but a lot of them, they didn't really act like it. But I remember my dad always talking about he would always say like, you know, he'd come and this wouldn't be like a parents' weekend or anything. My parents probably would come to watch a play or something that I was in, or just come to drop something off, or just whenever they would visit or something. My dad would always say, look at all those like nice, those late model cars that weren't these kids' parents' cars. You know, like that kind of money, that kind of Northeast upper crust money that these people had. And it's a lot. And I just never fucking, I never thought of it that way. I just knew the back of my mind was like, you have to do your time and get out. You got 4 years, do what you're supposed to do. My parents are busting their ass. So I was motivated by that. I think that's pressure in and of itself. My father didn't graduate from college. He was credit shy of graduating from Winston-Salem State. My mother didn't go. She sent other family members to school and they didn't fit. I think my mom should have went herself. And I was the first grandkid on my mother's side to graduate from college. I didn't know that till the week that I was graduating college. So it was like a big deal. My mom did have this big party at the house. And there was some family bullshit like there always is. But I was just like, no, this is my life. But I think that's pressure in and of itself, really. But yeah, that was kind of an eye opening thing when my friend talking about, you know, and he had three other sisters that, you know, were, and his parents that they were together and stuff. So he was telling me about his own stuff. And it was still different. I said, dude, you should have talked to me about it. I think I was a good friend back then. I would have listened and tried to help her and stuff like that. But the way that he was talking about that, I was like, dude, you should have never, like, fuck those people. Fuck them. You know, like, I never cared about, because he said, do you ever get invited to those parties at those people's big, their houses and stuff? I said, No. And I think I said, damn, did I invite you to my high school? I think when I graduated high school, I don't remember doing, I don't think we really did anything. It was college when we had the big party. High school, I think we just, me and my parents might have just went out to eat or something. Yeah, it was just, yeah, it was something. But I never, one of them, and it did make me think about that girl that I was madly in love with. I wanted to go to homecoming dance. She turned me down. So I went with this girl that I was in this acting troupe with. And she was beautiful. She went to another school. And she was from around the way. She was like, her parents, she grew up right by the library. And that's a girl that I wanted to date. And she was just like, she was a sweetheart, but she was from around the way. And she was just one of those cool ass, cute girls from PG. And really smart. And she went to another school. She went to a public school around the way. And when she and I went to prom together, these girls were upset. And I think she had a cousin that went to my school. I think she did. She was a cousin with somebody, related to somebody. And we had the best time. And that girl was so mad. The girl that I was in love with was mad at me. And this girl was doing, because I was a nerd. I was a nerd. I had glasses. I guess I was a nerd. Fuck it. I was. But she liked me. That girl liked me, but she had a boyfriend. She was further advanced than me. But she did like me enough to want to hang out. And by the time we should have gone to prom together, and she would later mention that after college and after we had grown up, I should have went to prom with you. She didn't go to prom with me. Because she had a boyfriend, but she said that guy wasn't nobody. And so she could have went to prom and would have been I still had a great prom. It was just weird. So, yeah, that was something. But I will say one of the funniest moments, I would say, look at even in the moment that it happened, I might have talked about this on the show before, but one of them, I think it might have been junior. I think we had the lockers upstairs or downstairs in our senior year. I don't remember, but there was this girl. She was a cheerleader. I don't know that anybody from high school listens to this, except maybe my friend that I talked to, but I'm not going to say anybody's names. She was beautiful. All the guys had a crush on her. Gorgeous. Nice, too. She was not a Regina George. She was a baddie, as the kids say now. And I remember one time, we were at the lockers and I had just gotten like a haircut or something. And she said, she looked at me and she's like, Chris, you look decent. Oh my God. It was so funny. I laughed. I think I might've said thank you, but I just remember laughing. Where she just didn't want to give it to me all the way. Because I think that I'm not a bad looking guy now. I'm fat and I've been struggling with my fatness. I'm working on myself. This year is where I'm working on myself, trying to be a better human and not be as fat and give up on the narcotic that is McDonald's. But I was not fat back then. I was a big boy, but I wasn't a fatty like I am now. But you know, when you get a haircut, that changes things. you know how they that whoever the dude is on Instagram that'll pull homeless, unhoused people, whatever they say now, the unhoused or somebody downtrodden or down in their luck, and he gives them a haircut. It's like, that's another dude. I think that happens with anybody. When you get a haircut, you're another dude, and you feel good for like 2 or 3 days, however it lasts. You do feel like but when you get that fresh cut, I'm looking at Michael Conley now. Like, just turn to look at my iPad screen. Michael Conley has a haircut. He just got blown. Somebody just blew past him, on this play. He plays with the Timberwolves now. He's got a fresh cut. I'm sure when he got that haircut, he's like, I'm a new man, you know? But this girl said, you look decent. And I was like, all right, I will take that from someone who is high on the food chain in this social stratification that we call high school. I was like, I'll take it. But I think all that comes with, I just kind of was telling my friend, I said, I wish I would have had like the vocabulary. Maybe he didn't have the vocabulary to talk about it. I think I would have found a way to talk about it. Like back then, I remember the big thing is, I know a lot of people tried it and a lot of people didn't make it. There is an organization, I don't want to call it a club, but there was this organization called Peer Ministry. And Peer Ministry was this organization on campus where there were you seniors, and you had to, it was like a job interview, like an audition where you had, they took, I don't know how many kids they took, but it was for seniors. And you were essentially big brothers and sisters to the underclassmen, and specifically to the freshmen. And you had to, you would go to the class. Sometimes you talk to them, or you do organize events, and then you'd organize like class trips to these retreats, and you'd talk about stuff, do activities. It was fun. It was back in the day when Subway was good, and you were the shit if you got a sandwich from Subway for lunch. That was a big deal back then. Oh, how times were so much simpler back then. And I was in that. And I remember the first retreat that we had as seniors, rising seniors. It was in the summertime. And unbeknownst to us, they had like these, our parents and family members write letters to us. And it was really sweet. It was like a beautiful fucking thing. And I don't remember what my parents said. It was probably something nice. And like aunts and my aunt said, wrote something. And it was really neat. And that was a big thing. And I remember like Bishop McNamara High School is where I went. And our colors were maroon and gold. And if you were a peer minister back when I was there, you have this a blue polo shirt that said, it was navy blue, and it said peer ministry on it. So it definitely singled you out from everybody in the school. And in the wintertime, I had some style back then. I don't know what my style is now, but I like to say that I had style. When it was a wintertime, I would get a navy blue turtleneck. And I also had gray slacks were a part of the uniform that we had. And I had some, I believe my aunt bought these for me. She bought me these Bucks. I think they were Rockports. No, they were Rockport shoes with a navy blue saddle on it. And you could not tell me I wasn't fly back then. And we would do our thing. And it was good. But like, yeah, that was just a fascinating thing that my friend was talking about. Cause I think maybe I was just so, I'm not trying to say that I was so cool, cause I was hung up on that girl for like two years, but I still did like had fun. But there were other girls that I probably should have. There were girls that I should have been talking to at school. There was one in particular that I should have been trying to date. But you don't know. That's youth. That's the, what is it? What is wasted on the youth? Looks are wasted on the youth? What is wasted on the youth? What is wasted on the youth? He said, youth is wasted on the young. This George Bernard Shaw. He later expounded on his derogatory remark about young people of the day that they're brainless and don't know what they have. They squander every opportunity of being young on being young. There you go. Yeah. So I didn't know. Had I known, should have been talking to this one girl who was really nice. She was a theater nerd. She was fucking smart. And I think she's a doctor now. And she's married. So she did watch me do comedy when I first started. She did come to a show. It was nice of her. She said, let me see what this kid, what this dude is doing. She's actually really nice. And she came to a play. She came, when I was in Chicago. She was visiting a friend. Anyway, I thought that was just like a fascinating thing where, like, you see it in the movies all the time about the rich kids and all that. But I didn't think about it as it applied to my own experience. I think I was just driven because it's like, oh, you have a job to do. Like, I gave a shit about my grades. I just remember my dad going to, because my mom worked at night. That's another thing. My mom, when I was like 9 or 10, she started working a night shift at her job. And then my dad would be working throughout the day. And then I would see my mom in the morning. She'd be asleep. She'd get home after midnight. My dad would be working throughout the day. I would stay at my aunt's house, my dad's sister's house. He'd pick me up at night and all that shit, you know, before I like was in high school and stuff like that. And so you see these people like fucking busting their ass. Yeah, you better do well in school, asshole. You better do well. You have all the toys you want, all the Nintendo games, the clothes, all that shit. And if it's not the clothes, they're buying your fucking uniforms that you have to wear. Yeah, you better get busy. I remember saying, you know what it is? I remember this because when it came time to go like senior year of college, when everybody was like getting acceptance and you're trying to get into schools and you find out where people are going. And you see these kids whose parents like, and this is why I didn't pick up on this, or I didn't really think about what my friend was thinking about when he was younger, where it was like, oh, you're just going to community college where your parents busted their ass. I would say that to my friends, like, not to my friends because they were going to school and stuff, but just like, your parents busted their ass so you could just go to like community college, where PG community college is great, but it's like you fucked off while like, and or maybe you're not going somewhere, you fucked off your parents' money. That's what I would be angry about, you know. Not that I was super righteous or anything. I was like, oh, you're wasting your parents' fucking money to go, you know. I don't know, man. It's kind of a rant. I don't know if you'll get anything out of this, but yeah, that's just kind of where my thoughts were today for the past couple of days, thinking about that stuff. But I don't know whether you're grown or and you're going through some kind of, all this shit is kind of like high school wherever you are in a lot of ways. I was listening to Mike Epps on All the Smoke. He was talking about that, like how everything is kind of like high school, how show business is like that. I definitely see that. And it never really leaves us. High school never really leaves that mindset sometimes. I think about that. I don't know. Let's talk about a couple TV and music thingies. Champion on Netflix, I finished that. I know I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. I really liked that. I was a big fan. It was making me think about Nashville and what's the show that Fonte worked on? I forget that show, the hip hop show. That was good. I don't know. And that like any show with music on it and it's good acting, I like it. So Champion is good. BMF, I saw the first episode. I got to get Stars back. I probably will soon. I'm watching that Patriots, the Dynasty New England Patriots on Apple TV Plus. That's good. They had a good Aaron Hernandez episode, even though I thought they could have went into it a little deeper, but they did dedicate an entire episode to him. So that was good. The one that got me, because you think like, fuck the Patriots, man, fucking shit, fuck that shit, you know, elitism and all that. You kind of get on their side the way from their perspective when they talk about Deflategate. And then when they talk about that Super Bowl win where Malcolm Butler got that picked off Russell Wilson for when they just could have ran the ball to Marshawn. And Malcolm Butler has a little story in it that got me emotional as fuck. He was like, yeah, man, I worked at Popeyes before I got drafted. I was like, oh, shit. And then they show everything in slow motion. They show Russell Wilson, eyes all big, looking to that side of the field where Malcolm Butler is, and he picks it off, and it's just like, ooh, I was like, wow, got emotional watching that shit. I love sports, man. I fucking love sports, bro. Gonna get a porterhouse after this, bro, and eat it in my flannel shirt. I'm gonna wear my flannel shirt when I eat it from Duluth Trading Company. Duluth Trading Company should be a sponsor for this pod. Anyway, music. I found this. I believe it was, no, I follow Blue Note, the club in New York City. I follow them on Instagram, and they had this band called Infinity Song on that they were performing soon or this month sometime. And they're a black band, and they're a sibling band, and they do soft rock, I guess. And they really have some nice harmonies. And I was listening to it last week, and I was like, oh, these guys are good. I really like them. Yeah, let me just kind of read this. Because they're on Rock Nation, so there's like a mini bio here. Infinity Song is a sibling band and music collective formed in 2014 in New York City. In the beginning, the group was comprised of Victory, Abraham, and Angel Boyd performing simple songs with just acoustic guitar and their voices. Younger siblings Israel and Thalia Momo Boyd later joined the group and significantly added to the band's rich, intricate harmonies. Raised by parents who were musicians themselves, the siblings grew up in a home where musical and creative expression was fostered and encouraged at a young age. Infinity Song's members are not only singers, but also songwriters, arrangers, instrumentalists, and music producers. So yeah, they're good. I really liked them. I've been listening to their stuff. My mom was in the car with me. She did not say, turn that shit off. And I think they did. They have I felt like they did I Ain't No Ways Tired on one of their albums. And I always associate that with James Cleveland. And I think that was I feel like they did. Cause I know my mother started singing. Yeah, I Don't Feel No Ways Tired. Yep. I think that's a James Cleveland song, and I was talking to Rick Younger about them, I believe. And I don't know what I Don't Feel No Ways Tired. He did say it was a originally a James Cleveland song. I know James Cleveland had some stuff, but still a good song. What else? Mind of a Saint Deluxe Edition by Sky Zoo. Terrific. He had, so if the Mind of a Saint is a concept album that was about a boot, Snowfall, and Sky Zoo added 7 bonus tracks to close out. I think he got to maybe season 4 in the first album, and then 6, the 5 and 6, or he got pretty far, and then he closed it out with new songs about Franklin's demise. It's great. It's funny because, no, I think I've talked about this a lot with comedian Jim Search, whose album is out, Upstate Understandings. Check him out. He and I were talking about, like, it's crazy because All the Beautiful Things was his last just like solo project. It came out maybe what, like 2019 or 2020, something like that. 2021 maybe. And just like, wow, this is a masterpiece. This is the best. This is the best thing he's ever done. And then he outdid himself by making a concept album about a hit TV show, which is almost like it's almost like it's a side project, but it's his best work. So he's one of the greats to me. He's just terrific. Other music, Norah Jones put out an album that I have not finished listening to. She did this project. What is it called? Visions. And she did this album with L. Michaels Affair, who I first heard of the L. Michaels Affair. They're a band that I first heard of when they did Freddie Gibbs's Tiny Desk. They were his backing band for Freddie Gibbs and Madlib's Tiny Desk. So I thought that they were dope. And then they also did Black Thought's album, Glorious Game. So this one, the first record, All This Time, sounds okay, this is going to be super soulful, but this one's kind of country infused a little bit, at least from the first couple songs that I listened to. But it's good if you like Norah Jones. I was hoping that it would be a little more soulful because I like when she does that stuff that just kind of leans on the edge of soul and hip-hop, because I really like that record that she did, I think with Danger Mouse, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see, I'll find it. I've got my phone out. Something about some pills. It's not any pills. Little Broken Hearts. That's what it is. All right. Yeah. Why am I thinking about Pills? Happy Pills is one of the records on here. That's what I thought. So that was like 2012. So I was thinking it was going to be a little groovy. I like a little, with her voice, you just kind of want her to be singing that kind of stuff. But she's an artist and she can do whatever she wants. And it's good. I wouldn't mind seeing her live. But Annie Clark, I think I talked about this. I talked about this like recently, but St. Vincent, new song, what is it, Broken Man. I need to listen to it again. With her, like, she's got a new album coming out called All Born Screaming, and it comes out in April. So like, I listened to this record, Broken Man, and I'm like, okay. And I saw the video, I just watched the video, and I was like, all right, she back. But I'm really not going to dive into it until the whole thing comes out. So, like, I'm just kind of like, all right, we'll just kind of wait. Daddy's Home, to me, was, I wish I could have seen that on tour. But she did do that thing, that video special with Moment House, which was cool. Yeah, I think I mentioned that. I had a ticket to see her in Philly at the Met, but it was during COVID, blah, blah, blah. And I was doing that play, so I wasn't trying to get COVID to lose out on some money. So hopefully I'll be able to see Annie Clark when she tours this album. I'll make that up and hopefully see her. So I'm excited. Some good stuff coming out. I'm at the Borgata later this month in Atlantic City, the 29th through the 31st of this month. So, excuse me, I'll be there, and hopefully some more shows will pop up that you won't come to, and that's fine. I'm just gonna keep working on my craft, and I'll just have to wait for you motherfuckers to catch up. I guess you're just gonna catch up when you catch up, huh? Is that what? All right. I saw Dune Part 2. I liked it. It was more Zendaya. Epic, stunning. 3.5 stars, I want to say. I think I gave it 3.5 on Letterboxd. It's definitely worth seeing. It drags in some places. But it's an enjoyable movie experience. See it in Dolby or IMAX if you can. I think that's the only way to see some of these. I think now we're getting back into the big movies coming out, fun and interesting things coming out. So I'm excited about that. I think what's the Love Lies Bleeding, the Kristen Stewart movie that's coming out next week. I'm excited about that, and that Magical Negro movie is out next week. That'll be interesting. I'm really interested in seeing that. I want to see how that goes. I just don't know if you're trying to make a rom-com where you have a biracial guy going after a woman who's not black. She's something. You know what? Let me look into it. Isn't it the Society of Magical Negroes? All right. I'm just going to read you guys the blurb on Google. A young man gets recruited into a secret society of magical black people who dedicate their lives to making white people's lives easier. Although initially enamored with his new powers, he begins to question the value of using supernatural means to do the very thing he's felt obligated to do his whole life. It stars Justice Smith, David Alan Greer, Nicole Byer, Rupert Friend. I want to see who the main girl is. The girl that they're both after is what I want to see. Where is the Wikipedia? You know, when you're trying to find it. Oh, it's right at the top, Chris. I want to see the girl who's Anley Bogan. Is that it? I want to see. She's the main girl. They don't have. She's very beautiful. But she don't look. She don't look white. She don't look black. Okay, let's see. Asian, ethnically this is some weird. It's called Backstage About Me. Age range 14 to 25. Is this the theater website casting? Asian, ethnically ambiguous, multiracial, white European descent. Yeah. That's just kind of like, and it's like you're going after a white girl. That's like cliche. And the guy they cast is from the other two. This guy, Drew Tarver, who plays, I don't know if he's gay in real life, but he plays a gay dude on this show. Let's see. It doesn't say. I don't want to assume. Tarver came out as bisexual at age 26. Okay. He's bisexual. And Justice Smith, I believe, is either bisexual or gay. Let's see. Okay, Smith came out as queer in an Instagram post on June 5th, 2020. He's in a relationship with actor Nicholas Ash. I think I saw Nicholas Ash in Choir Boy. It was a great fucking play. That was a terrific show. I'm interested. I just want to see, you couldn't get my girl, you just couldn't be in love with a black girl. All right. Well, you know what? Let me not judge it. I'm not going to judge this film until I've seen it. I'm skeptical. So it's 35% on Rotten Tomatoes, 54% on Metacritic. I'm not going to let that deter me from going to the movie. I'm still interested in seeing it. David Alan Grier is always great in everything. Justice Smith is really good in everything I've seen him in. So it's got a good cast. Nicole Byer, I worked with her. She's really nice. Michaela Watkins. I don't think I know who Rupert Friend looks familiar. What's he done? Big Rupert Friend. What's he ever done? Let me see his... Look at his IMDb here. Hitman, Agent 47, The Death of... I've seen Pride and Prejudice. That's been a long time. He was in Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was in The French Dispatch. A simple... He's done some... I've seen him in stuff. All right. Well, I'm going to see it. Patreon stuff. Patreon folks, you have something. You will have something that I'm excited to share with you. Don't give up on me. I'm still here. Everyone, I really appreciate you listening. My apologies for the delay. I had to take care of family stuff. And I will talk to you all next time. Take it easy, everybody.